Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 237 of Beyond the Supernatural. We are still in the monsters section, and I am not still in the hotel room. You may be able to notice a difference in the audio quality. Don't worry, this is not a sudden and catastrophic end to my mission to record the remainder of the season in one ordeal of a hotel stay. It's just that over the course of that recording session, at some point, it looks like for the duration of one episode, the power cord for my soundboard fell out. And so I recorded an episode worth of silence instead of an episode. So I have to go back and fill in this one. But normal service will be restored tomorrow. Today is a re-record that I'm doing much later at home. And in it, I'm going to be talking about the Dar Ota. That's D-A-R, genre fiction apostrophe, O-T-A, better known as the succubus or incubus. And under normal circumstances, I might be concerned, because this is a re-record, about how long it would take, about how difficult it would be to fit into my schedule. But, in fact, there's not a lot dumb here. It's not as though there's all this outrageous material that I feel honor-bound to cover on the show. By and large, this implementation of the succubus slash incubus is quite good. For those of you who have never been succubused or incubated in a fantasy role-playing game, here are the basics. Quote, many cultures have myths about the succubus, female, and incubus, male, shape-changing demons sent into the world to charm and seduce unsuspecting humans for the purpose of gathering information, extortion, manipulation, assassination, torment, and murder. The older name for these demonic servants is Dar Ota, but whatever they are called, the legendary succubus and incubus are, in reality, a hulking, hunchbacked reptilian monster that resembles a cross between a human and monstrous lizard or dinosaur covered in slime. That actually all comes on page 236, but here on page 237, we go beyond the premise to get some more details about the monster. First of all, regarding their human disguise, quote, in human form, the Dar Ota have the beauty and appeal of a movie star. Only the person's inhuman strength will hint that there is something unnatural about them. The Dar Ota can remain in human form for days, but must revert to its monstrous shape to feed on blood every 2 days. And then we get a whole stat block, which we'll talk about in a moment. But this disguise thing is key. One problem with secret-based monsters, like monsters who have a terrible secret or a hidden form or a ploy that they use, is that there's a risk that if they're too good at the ploy, then there ends up being no reveal at the table, right? Because the monster is too good at the con. It either never gets found out, or when it does get found out, it has no reason to drop its disguise or illusion or whatever. So maybe the players beat it, but are left wondering, like, what the fuck was that thing? It looked like a sexy lady. We figured out that it was a demon. We kicked its ass, and now there's a sexy lady lying there. Who knows what her secret was? We just kicked her ass, but we may never know why. Here, we have a clear reveal, right? Because the Dar Ota have an alternate form, which is like a slimy dinosaur, which is the opposite of a sexy lady, to most tastes. I know you're a bunch of fucking perverts, whatever. There's someone in the audience who would love to fuck a slimy dinosaur, but we're not here for that. For thematic purposes for this monster, we need the divide between sexy babe, of any gender, and slimy dinosaur. I thought I was smooching a sexy babe. Whoops, now it's trying to drink my blood, and it turns out to be a slimy dinosaur. This is horrible. I don't want to smooch a slimy dinosaur. That's the dramatic situation of this monster. You got to get on board with that, whatever your personal feelings about slimy dinosaurs are. So in those terms, I think this monster works great. There's going to be a reveal. You're going to be horrified by the slimy dinosaur. And the Dar Ota has an incentive to turn into their true form at some point because they got to drink blood. Every couple days, they got to drink blood. And to do that, they got to turn back into slimy dinosaur mode. Also, there's a neat little vulnerability that the Dar Ota has where when lightning flashes, the lightning momentarily illuminates the monster in its true form. So if you set up a scene with a Dar Ota during a thunderstorm, then there's just a little blink and you'll miss it chance to see their true form and know that something is up. Enough that a paranormal investigator would catch on for sure, get a glimpse, but then not be able to like get a good look. They'd have to do some further investigation, but extremely like momentary so that if a normal person who doesn't believe in the supernatural saw it, it would be a weird, shocking experience, but it's easily enough rationalized. So I think exactly the right balance is struck there. So far, nothing really dumb about this monster. And this was my challenge when I initially recorded this episode. So I went digging through the stat block, but everything's looking pretty good. IQ, 14 plus 1d6. Almost always exceptionally intelligent. Sounds good to me. Mental Affinity, 2d6 plus 18. That's nuts. That's an average MA of 25. Could go as high as 30. Spot on. Very charismatic, as any incubus or succubus should be. Got some supernatural strength here. Exceptional physical prowess. High physical endurance. Physically powerful. So just solving the mystery, or suspecting them, isn't enough to get the job done. Physical beauty, 1d6 plus 18. Once again, always exceptionally attractive. Up as high as a physical beauty 24, perhaps. So far, spot on. This is exactly the kind of secret slimy dinosaur I would want to be seduced by. Horror factor, none while in human form, but horror factor 15 when they're in their reptilian form, and a higher horror factor of 18 when you witness the transformation. Perfect. Perfect, because this way there's a tactical advantage to the monster transforming in front of you, and the moment when the sexy babe of any gender becomes a slimy dinosaur is a climax of horror. Maybe a climax of a lot of things. Who knows? Sometimes you could have multiple big emotions running at once. Like, it reminds me of this time during a power outage when I was going down on this girl. And it was going pretty well. Not to brag. It was going pretty well. But then, suddenly, at precisely the wrong moment, the power came back on and the TV went back on. And a commercial announcer voice suddenly broke in saying, "Spicy Cajun butter sauce." And we both fucking lost it. Sometimes a little twist. Just at the right moment, there's a big impact. And so I think you may find yourself in a real spicy Cajun butter sauce situation when this sexy babe of any gender turns out to be a slimy dinosaur just at the moment of maximum emotional whiplash. That's a hell of an idea. And of course, I can't take credit for it because horror factor 18, when the actual transformation happens, when you actually witness it, I mean, that is a naked appeal, if you'll forgive the expression, to spring this transformation on the player character at just the right moment. So again, spotless, beautiful design on this monster so far. We got some powers here, blah, blah, blah. A special ability to, quote, understand human vice and frailty. Blood scent, they can track you by blood, so that if Dar-Ota transforms and you suddenly realize what it really is and it manages to hit you and then you run away because maybe you were in some compromising situation or unexpected situation, didn't expect to encounter a monster, so when it hits you with its claws, you just book it out of there. It can now hunt you down by the smell of your blood. Fantastic. Honestly, I don't think there's really anything bad on this page, but there is something dumb. And it fits right into the overall care put into crafting the concealment, investigation, and revelation of the Dar-Ota's true nature. The thing is, in a story with a monster disguised as an innocent or likable or attractive normal human being, you want the stage of the story where the investigators are on to the monster, but the monster still has other people on their side. And so you have to try to find a way to reveal the monster. You definitely get that here. And in fact, the Dar-Ota is so good at what it does. I mean, high physical beauty, amazingly high mental affinity, and an 86% chance at least to understand and exploit human vices, plus various supernatural abilities to bolster those human relationships. The Dar-Ota, unlike many traditional succubi and incubi, doesn't really have to rely on sexuality even. Like, if a disguised Dar-Ota joins your church, you know, it's just like a nice looking sexy lady who joins the congregation, joins the choir, bakes something for the bake sale, and just is everybody's best friend. She may or may not be fucking the pastor, but regardless, just on the basis of like bake sale contribution, schmoozing people at fellowship meetings, helping out with childcare, people are going to love her. And you're going to have a really hard time forcing her to reveal her true nature as long as she keeps getting blood every couple of days. But most paranormal investigators, in fact, most teams, aren't going to have anybody on them with the social wherewithal to get this congregation to side with them, right? The church is going to turn on you if you start accusing this new, fresh-faced, kindly, happens-to-be-sexy member of the congregation of being something other than the delight that she seems to be. But there is a way to do it. If there were no way to do it, I think that might be the dumbest thing on this page. Again, you might find the situation where the disguise is so good that you can't crack it. But you can crack this disguise. You can force the Dar-Ota to reveal itself. Quote, "Prolonged combat that lasts for more than 2 minutes, 8 melee rounds, also causes the shape changer to lose its composure and revert to his ghastly true form." This is where it all comes together. It is both the dumbest thing on this page and the culmination of all the other good design here. This succubus story does not end with some player character telling some sexy babe of whatever gender, "Hey, listen, you know you're hot, I know you're hot, but we also both know that you're a slimy dinosaur, so no thank you, no sex for me, please." And then the sexy babe being like, "Curses, foiled again," and disappearing. It's not going down like that. This also isn't a situation where you're out there banging your head against the wall, going to everybody in the church, showing them your fucking PowerPoint like, "No, look, I know she makes fucking amazing fudge, divinity, banana bread, you name it, for the bake sale, but if you can look at the subtle list of clues I've compiled, you'll see that for real she's a slimy dinosaur. Please believe me. It's also not going down like that. I'll tell you how it's going down. At aforementioned bake sale, you're going to kick this sexy parishioner's ass, and you're going to do it for 2 full minutes, and only then will she reveal her slimy dinosaur form for everyone to see. You're going to be vindicated. After 2 long, excruciating minutes of appearing to beat the ever-loving fuck out of the woman who made the fudge. That is the dumbest thing on this page, because when you're at church throwing hands at a MILF in a long floral dress with a sunny disposition, 2 minutes is a long time. It is a long time for the church to watch you do this. First of all, in Palladium terms, 8 melee rounds is forever. Combat takes a long time to run in Palladium. But even outside that context, 2 minutes doesn't sound like very long, but it really is. I went and actually compared this to some notable fight scenes from films, just for your edification, as you're sort of imagining, how long do I really gotta fist fight this woman at the bake sale before she shows her true colors? How long am I going to seem like the monster at the bake sale? Do you remember the elevator fight scene from Captain America Winter Soldier? That's about the length of time we're talking about. That whole thing, from the first punch thrown all the way to Cap diving out of the elevator or whatever, that's about 2 minutes long. So we're talking about that whole fight scene playing out in front of onlookers before you're vindicated, which is perfect. It's really long, but you're really working for that moment of vindication. It's going to feel that much better. Maybe you haven't seen Winter Soldier. If you've seen Casino Royale, Daniel Craig's first Bond movie, that movie starts with Bond sitting and having like a menacing conversation with somebody, and he's doing a flashback to a really intense fight scene in like a public restroom where he ends up like brutally drowning a guy in a sink that's overflowing with water. Like from the first shot in the bathroom to the ending where Bond shoots the guy, even including the framing stuff in between, that's like 2 minutes long. So that whole fight scene, that seemingly interminable drowning in the sink, that whole thing, like that is what you may be doing to this succubus. I even compared this fight to probably the most iconic long fight scene in modern films, barring like lightsaber duels or whatever, but just like straight up brawls. Probably the most notorious of those is going to be the fist fight from They Live with Rowdy Roddy Piper. Now, I have to admit, that fight scene is like 6 goddamn minutes long. But here's the thing about that fight scene, and I hope you know me well enough to know I'm never going to be talking shit about a Rowdy Roddy Piper fight scene. This is not meant to cast aspersions, but that fight scene is really like a wrestling match, to its credit. That's part of why it's so good. And in pro wrestling, we have a thing called work rate, where it's like, what proportion of this match is wrestling per se, and which percentage of it is like somebody rolling out of the ring and like making that motion with their hands like, nah, 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 I'm out, I'm leaving. And then the referee having to be like, now hold on, if you leave, I'm going to count you out and you're going to lose this match. And then they put up their hands like 1, 2, and then the wrestler outside the ring holds their head like, oh no, I didn't think of that. You have to wrestle to win a wrestling match. And then they eventually go back in at the 9 count. Like all that stuff that isn't wrestling that's in a wrestling match. A match with a high work rate has lots of like wrist locks and suplexes compared to, you know, ripping up fan signs and rolling around on the mat screaming and that sort of thing. The fight scene in They Live has like a relatively low work rate. There's a lot of like people starting to walk away from the fight and then they get sucked back in. There's a lot of like snippets of conversation, a lot of things happening other than fighting in this fight scene. And my reading of this, where it says prolonged combat is needed to make the Dar Ota lose its composure, I think we need 2 full minutes of continuous combat. I think there's probably only one place in the whole fight scene from They Live that those two characters are fighting for 2 continuous minutes. And that's very relevant to what may be happening at this hypothetical bake sale. You know, what if you go at this succubus in disguise, but then you're starting to get the upper hand, it seems like maybe you can take her. She may well run around the big long table where all the different cookies are laid out and go hide behind the pastor's wife, put on a little bit of a show like, please, you've got to help me. I told this woman there were no walnuts in the fudge and she started striking me. Now you got to explain. It's not about the fudge. It's not about the walnuts. Can't you see that this sexy woman is a dinosaur? Get out of the way. Now the timer is reset. Now you got to beat up this succubus for 2 more minutes. And now the pastor's wife is involved. You're going to have people coming in trying to pull you apart. Maybe reset the timer again. In an ideal scenario, this is 2 minutes long. In an ideal scenario where, like, let's say your church is doing a candy rain, where adults get on the top of the church and they throw candy down at the children, and the children pick it up off the ground and eat it, teaching them the dual life lessons of 1, adults want to humiliate you, and number two, eat candy off the ground. A candy rain. If you went to church, you know about candy rains. Let's say you're doing a candy rain. The ideal thing to do would be to lure the succubus up there, fight her on top of the church while everybody's watching. There's nobody else up there to interfere. Then 2 minutes is still a long time, but at least you only have to fight her for 2 minutes. Then she turns into a slimy dinosaur up on top of the church where everybody can see. Problem solved. But you may not have that option. There may not be a candy rain scheduled, maybe anytime this month at church. Maybe there aren't any big holidays. Maybe the candy budget has been depleted. Who knows? You may not have that choice. You may have to do this at a regular bake sale, car wash on behalf of the building fund, even like normal, like midweek fellowship meeting, something like that, where you're surrounded by people who are going to get involved. There's all these different places to run. Oh shit, she's behind the organ now. She's crawling under the pews. Now we got to find her. Every time something like this happens, you got to reset. You could easily be fighting this succubus for 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes in full view of everyone. And the thing is, this is a juicy, juicy fight scene because you cannot break off. You have really crossed the Rubicon once you throw your first punch at like sexy Mrs. Sundress over there. You're committed now. If she doesn't turn into a slimy dinosaur, you can't go to this church anymore. So you have to stick with it. You may have to fight her the full 6 minutes. You may have to have this extended fist fight slash chase all around the church grounds before she finally turns into a slimy dinosaur and you're vindicated. And that is the dumbest and most wonderful thing on this page. The best outcome to a succubus or incubus storyline is a big, dramatic, long fight scene where you seem like the most horrible person in the world, pummeling a sexy innocent until they finally take on their true form and everyone's like, oh, a succubus. That's the climax that you want. 2 full minutes of being unanimously hated, followed by vindication. That is the sweet, spicy Cajun butter sauce that we are seeking to cap off this storyline. I love it so much. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this brief visit from future Chris. Join past me next time to begin 3 days of hotel-bound frustration on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.